Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to each woman, and peace to each man.
Peace to each family, peace to each child.
Peace to the creatures, peace to the nations.
Peace in our hearts, peace in our world.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Come to us from the heart of God.
Come to us from the garden of our beginnings.
Come to us from the center of this moment.
Come to us from the true depths of our soul.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. We join in singing our opening hymn in your red hymn books. It's hymn number 880, God Beyond All Praising, 880. Be seated, and our service continues with the Thanksgiving in your blue worship booklets. Great creating spirit, from whom all life comes forth. Here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished, hungering for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations.
Here we gather with bread and with wine, but with more than bread and wine.
Here we gather with creation's elements all around us, with earth, air, fire, and water, still expanding through the universe. With the glory of the sun, the whiteness of the moon, the glittering of heaven's lights off owing waters.
Here we gather with bread and wine, but with more than bread and wine.
Here we gather with the firm fecundity of the earth, the growing and the greening of trees, creatures of the day and night, birds of the air, all full of your glory, all bearers of your presence, all part of the great harmony that we long to touch and taste and become one with again.
Here we gather with bread and with wine, but with more than bread and wine.
So with everything that we see and sense around us, with visible and invisible energies that pulse with life, we join our souls in the song that vibrates throughout the whole creation. We say together, Holy, holy, holy God, your presence fills all things.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 18. God visits Abraham and Sarah to tell them that the long-awaited promise of the birth of a child will be fulfilled for them in their old age. Hear now from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is your wife Sarah? And he said, There, in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. The second reading is Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart, that do not slander with the tongue, they do no evil to their friends, They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
I invite you, as you are able and feel called, to stand for the reading from the Gospel. From Luke 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." You may be seated. My name is Kendra, and I serve a congregation in Fort Worth, Texas, named Trinity Lutheran Church. I also am serving here this week as faculty, teaching about masculinity and the New Testament. And I am basically in Holden Village this week. I am Emmer Kate's former pastor, is what I am. Emmer Kate grew up at my congregation. And so if you wonder, how did that woman get up to preach tonight? You just have to know Emmer, and then you're fine after that. Grace to you and peace from the God who created us all and brings us this word this evening. I was reading this week, I wasn't thinking I was going to preach actually, but I was reading Caroline Lewis's Dear Working Preacher column. She writes a column online that I often read because she's very inspirational. She keeps me grounded. And this week, her first words were those of caution, where they said, "Dear working preacher, please be careful with this text. Be cautious." Why would she say that? Perhaps it's because many of the sermons I've heard on this text over the years have basically divided the group of people into two. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? And if you're a Martha, feel bad. And if you're a Mary, feel good about yourself. Yeah? And it's unfortunate because, of course, this is one of the few texts we actually have about women. And what does it do but divide and stereotype women? Yes, and pit them against one another. Unity of love. Yeah. Unity of love. And so we are cautious when we approach this text, and we try not to fall into familiar maybe values or ruts where we are looking at one another and thinking to ourselves, "I know how this goes already." But instead, we are open to the Spirit and to what the Word would say to us today. One of the gifts that the Lutheran tradition brings to Scripture is that we don't necessarily go to the Bible to see where we're doing well and feel good about that. That's not really what we do. In fact, we read Scripture, we read the text in order to see where we are struggling and where in that struggle place God meets us with grace. And so that's what I've been thinking about this week as I've made the trek out here and been thinking about leaving my congregation behind, turning off my phone, and what it would mean for me to be cut off. So many people said to me before I left, "You really need to go rest." I don't know how to take that. I don't understand what that means. That means I look brittle? Perhaps. But I've been thinking about that, and so the part of the text that stood out to me the most is the question, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" And this hits me, maybe it hits some of you, as something that's come out of our own hearts and our own mouths as we've looked around at everything there is to do. And so what reaches out and challenges me is this sense of being overburdened and also feeling alone. That in fact, there are not enough of us to go around. There are not enough of us who are doing the good work of the world. And so, God, have you left us on our own? Are we the only ones that are out there trying? There is so much to do. And right now, this hustle and grind culture that is everywhere in our society also doesn't help anything. Because there is this sense of when you are part of the hustle culture, when you are part of the grind culture, you are contributing to what is good in the world. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes that means you're in business and productivity and the bottom line, and that's what that means. It means money. And for other people, it means how many things have I done to advocate for justice? How many speeches have I made? How many places have I shown up? Who have I amplified or lifted up? Either way, it is all based on this sense of we must always be doing something, because there is not enough of us to go around. Sometimes I wonder, as I've been doing this for about 15 years, sometimes I wonder if the Lutheran witness about grace, forgiveness, and mercy doesn't resonate so well with people in the 21st century because they're not afraid of God, right? A lot of them don't even really believe in God. Or if they believe in a God, there's this sort of presence there, but it's not malevolent, it's not mean or judging. But then I think about this hustle and grind culture and the sense that we all have to be contributing all the time, and I think we really do need this. We really do need grace to say that it is not all about what we do, it is in fact who we are and who we are created to be and then who we are called to be into community. And so this is too self-justification. The sense of, do you not care that I am all alone and working? Do you not care that I seem to be the only one who's doing the good in the world? Do you not care that I feel like I'm all by myself? This too is a place that's in need of grace. And so we hear in the text today a call to rest, a call to be with the divine, a call to listen, as Mary did, to Jesus, to the voice, to the word that comes to us, to be with God, to be with creation, and to be with neighbors, to sit and listen, to speak and to sing. But this too is challenging, and I have to be honest about this, because, you know, my distractions, they help me cope. They really do. They keep me from having to look in the mirror. They keep me from having to think about the things that are hard, about myself, about my relationships. They keep me from having to deal with difficult things. And so even resting can be a challenge because I have to let go of my distractions for a while. I have to let go of my ability to cope, the ways that I've learned to be in the world. And so coming to a place like this exposes us and leaves us feeling vulnerable. Being in the presence of God means we are not God. And being in the presence of our neighbors means we have to decenter ourselves and take on a sense of humility as we engage one another. We can even turn rest into a way that we justify ourselves, a way that we do good in the world. And we can forget that it is a privilege to rest. On Instagram, I follow the Nap Ministry. Does anyone else follow the Nap Ministry? Oh, good. Yay. That's like, I have something to share. This is good. I follow the Nap Ministry, and this is the woman who's behind this. Her name is Trisha Hersey. She calls herself the Nap Bishop, and she preaches the gospel of rest. And she speaks often, every day, on Instagram, on social media, about the importance of rejecting hustle and grind culture and instead resting. And she holds events in public spaces for people to nap. Yes. Doesn't this sound amazing? Yeah. So she's based out of Atlanta and out of Chicago. And so she will hold these gatherings for people to come and to rest in public, in part to challenge this narrative of self-justification based on our own productivity. And I love this. I'm from a family of nappers. I love napping. Yeah, we prioritize napping in our house because it allows us to get through the rest of the day. Yeah. And so I find this very compelling. And I find her, the Nap Bishop's message, important to me. But see, it's not just about me. The Nap Ministry would be the first to tell you that this isn't just about hiding. It isn't just about sleeping. Trisha Hersey, her message is about resisting oppression. She, in many of her art installations that go along with public napping, she herself is African-American. Many of the people she uses in her group and has colleagues are black as well. And they will use cotton in the art installations. And the image of black people sleeping on cotton is intentional. It is reclaiming a sense of rest where rest was not allowed. Rest was not part of their lives. And so it's reparations. It's reclaiming a sense of identity and agency. And it's fighting. It's fighting for people's ability to be human. And so rest allows us not just to escape, it allows us to engage. And so the Knapp Bishop teaches me that my rest in the world is not meant to hide. My rest in the world is so that I can be more fully aware of who is tired and why. And so the good news for us today is this is just not just one more thing for you to do. Oh, and when you have time, you should rest. No. The whole point of the liberative understanding of sitting and being at the feet of Jesus, of being in a place of rest, is so that we might return to who God has made us to be, so that we might engage with the creation that's around us, so that we may actually see our neighbors for who they are, and so that we might remember the calling that God has given us in the world, the unique ways that each of you serve, the ways that you lead, the ways that you care, the ways that you are in the world that no one else can be except for you. Our rest, our time with God, is about engaging, dropping the distractions, and being with one another. When that happens, then the Spirit can move. Then the word can be heard when it is spoken. Amen.
You're invited to turn to page 5 in your worship booklets as we pray for our earth. Heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God. Your presence fills all things, yet what have we done? Life forms torn forever out of the fabric of the universe. Wealth wasted, nations at war, families broken, Great creating spirit, hear our plea for mercy. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for hearing our prayer, and we pray that you stir us to action, that we might indeed find ways to rest so that we can respond fully to the needs of this beautiful earth that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Y también contigo.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. Now, real quickly, I know we love to hug and hold in village, but please watch the other's body language. They may just want to shake your hand. So again, we continue now with our tithes and offerings. Do be aware that 100% of this offering goes to Las Americas, which is an organization working to provide legal aid to immigrants on the borders. If you did not bring money with you tonight, that is okay. You can get it to David. You want to wave, David? He's our accountant. The two of us will make sure it gets where it gets, or just give it to a staff person. We appreciate that. We continue to worship with our offering. We turn to the bottom of page 6 for the memory of Jesus, and you're invited, as you feel comfortable, to please stand. Into our brokenness came the memory of wholeness.
Into our fear came the messenger of love.
Christ born among us.
Among us.
Child of heaven.
Son of woman.
Bearer of forgiveness. Teacher of wisdom, rejected by the religious, companion of our soul. Rest, Jesus blessed the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." With his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the wine. Jesus blessed the wine and said, "This is my lifeblood, poured out for you. Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this bread of the earth. Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this cup of unity." And now, as Jesus taught us, we pray, ground of all being, mother of life, father of the universe, may we know your presence here, seeking your will upon earth. Grant to all your creatures food for today and strength for our families. Pardon our falseness as we forgive. True to us. Do not forsake us in our need, but lead us to new birth. For the glory of life and the light of life are yours forever. Amen. These are the gifts of heaven for you, the people of earth. Amen. You may be seated. A word about communion. You come forward as you feel comfortable. The invitation is perhaps that those are towards the front can begin and then pass, and the neighbors will just keep coming as they head towards and move in. There will not be ushers leading you forward, so be prepared for that. There will be two lines for communion. You'll all be cycling down through this opening to head this direction, or this opening to head this direction. First, there will be gluten-free. Then bread will be broken for you if that is is your preference. Then there will be a common cup which you can take your bread and dip in the wine, or you can drink from it. But if you prefer to use a cup, then there'll be a basket of cups, a pitcher of wine, and then a pitcher of grape juice as well. And then finally, a basket for the empty cups. Again, all is prepared. All is welcome. This is Jesus' table. It is He who is the host, and it is He who invites you to come. If you would like to draw close to the table, but you're not sure about communion because you've never done that before, even if you've never done it before, you're welcome to come up. But you can also come for a blessing. And if you just cross your arms across your chest, and we'll know that that means you wish to have a blessing. And children commune at all ages, so make sure they lift those hands up high so we know to offer them bread. All has been prepared. Please come to the feast that Jesus offers us all.
We sing the Lamb of God that's on your sheet. Hymn number 472, Eat This Bread. Number 466.
Thank you.
We continue with the prayer to the Spirit on page 10. Great creating Spirit who swept over the depths of the unknown to give birth to creation in all its splendor.
Great creating Spirit who conceived new life in the womb of Mary to give birth to the child of peace.
Great creating Spirit who hovers over the waters of the human soul today to give birth to healings and visions that have never been seen before.
Come to us as an earth community.
Come to us as nations of the world.
Grant us wholeness.
Grant us healing.
Grant us together a new language that we may be one.
We sing together hymn number 560. You may remain seated and note that the choir will be singing stanza 3. It's hymn number 560. Of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you this day and always. Depart in this magnificent peace. Amen.
You can just make a stack over there.